Side 3, Jedi Search, The Jedi Academy Trilogy, Volume 1, by Kevin J. Anderson. Continuing on page 97. As they huddled in the tunnel, picking at broken rock, Han could think only of his aching knees, his burning fingers, of how nice it would be to be back with Leia again. No one had told him how long a shift was, not that he had any way of telling time in the darkness. He grew hungry, he grew thirsty, he kept working. During a lull, Han felt a tingle go up his spine. He looked, knowing he could see nothing in the dark. But his ears, now attuned as his primary sense, picked up a distant rustling, a thousand whispering voices growing louder, picking up speed like a hydrolocomotive bulleting down a tube. A pearly glow seemed to seep out of the air. "What?" "Shh," Kip answered. The prisoners had stopped working. A faint glittering dazzle like a dense cloud of faint fire shot through the tunnel, humming and chittering. Han ducked. Around him he heard the others also falling flat on the debris-covered floor. The glowing thing shot down the hollow tube, rolling and roiling. Once it passed them and went beyond the point where they had mined spikes from the walls, the glowing thing suddenly curved right and plunged straight into the solid rock, vanishing like a fish falling back into a dark pool. Behind them, along the curving lengths of the tunnel, tiny blue sparks flickered from the exposed spice that had been activated by the light source whizzing past. The blue sparks sputtered and flickered and quickly faded. Han's eyes ached from the sudden barrage of light, a light that was probably too dim for him to have seen under normal circumstances, but his eyes had been yearning in blackness for hours now. "What was that?" he shouted. He heard Kip panting beside him. "Nobody knows. It's about the 15th one I've seen over the years. We call them bogies. They never hurt anybody, or so we think, but nobody knows what's grabbing those people down in the deep mines." The guard himself seemed shaken, and Han could hear a quaver in his voice. "That's enough. End of shift. Let's make our way back to the cars." That sounded like a good idea to Han. When the string of mine cars returned to the long holding grotto and the metal door closed behind them, Han heard the sound of weapons being drawn. All workers were ordered to strip out of their thermal suits. Han could understand the precautions. With a brief mental boost from stolen glitter stem, a prisoner might be able to stage an escape. Although Han had been to the barren surface of Kessel and wondered where an escape he might go. When the standard lights finally came back on, the blinding glare was enough to make Han crouch over as if someone had punched him in the gut. He shielded his eyes. He felt a hand take him and lead him into the muster room. "It's okay, Han. Just follow me. Let your eyes get used to it. There's no hurry." But Han was in a hurry to see what Kip Duran looked like. He kept blinking away tears and forcing his pupils to contract enough that he could make sense out of the brilliant images showering around him. But when he finally discerned Kip's form, he blinked again, this time in surprise. "You're just a kid." Han saw a dark, tousle-headed teen who looked as if he cropped his own hair with a blunt object. He had wide eyes surrounded by dark rims, and his skin was pale from years of living in the darkness of the spice mines. Kip was wiry and tough-looking. He stared at Han with hope and a little intimidation. "Don't worry," Kip said. "I do the best I can." Kip reminded him of the brash and wide-eyed young Luke Skywalker Han had first met in the Mos Eisley Cantina. But Kip seemed tougher than Luke had been, not quite so naive. With the rough life Kip had had, growing up on Kessel and locked in the spice mines without anyone to watch over him, it was no wonder the kid had a hard streak in him. At the moment, Han couldn't decide which he hated more, the Empire for inflicting such hardships on Kip and his family, or Maruth Duel for perpetuating them, or himself for getting Chewie and him into this mess in the first place. 8. Night on Eol Shah offered little rest. Falling darkness fought against the simmering orange glow from the nearby volcano, the pastel blaze of the Cauldron Nebula, and the looming spotlight of the too-close moon. Hissing blasts from the geyser field broke the quiet at irregular intervals. Luke sat alone in the cramped storage module Ganterus had given him for sleeping accommodations. Never intended as a living area, the module had few comforts, a basin of filmy water and a cloth-covered mound of dirt for a bed. Ganterus took a perverse pleasure in telling Luke that it had been one of the dead boy's favorite places to play. Either the refugees blamed Luke for not being able to save both children, Or perhaps Ganterus just wanted to keep him off balance. Luke had his lightsaber and all the powers he had learned from Jedi training should he decide to escape. But that was not the reason he had come to Eol Shah. Cupping his chin in his hands, he stared out at the hostile knight. He needed to convince Ganterus to listen to him, to see the need for rebuilding the Jedi Knights. But why would someone from an isolated colony with no conception of galactic politics bother to care? If Ganterus was indeed a descendant of the long-ago Tanya, Luke had to make him care. When the other people drifted to their quarters for the evening, Wharton brought him a steamed bugdillo to eat. Luke poked at the glossy black shell of the crustacean, splitting open the cracks in its multiply segmented body to get at the pinkish meat. That afternoon, a boy had been killed trying to spear these small creatures. At any time, Luke could leave the battered module, walk to the passenger shuttle on the far side of the geyser field, and retrieve his own rations. But he didn't want to leave, not until Ganterus agreed to come with him. Luke ate the sour-tasting meat, chewing in silence. "Come with me." Ganterus stood silhouetted in the square doorway of Luke's quarters. Luke blinked and came out of his trance, refreshed and surprised to see the gray morning light shining through cracks in the module. Without a word, he stood up and stepped outside. Ganterus wore the faded uniform of a trader captain. It fit him poorly, but he carried himself with pride. The uniform must have been passed down from generation to generation as the hopeful colonists waited for the ramjet gas miners to return and make their settlement a booming town. "Where are we going?" Luke asked. Ganterus handed him a woven pouch, then slung a similar one over his own shoulder. "To get food." Tossing his thick black braid behind him, he marched toward the geyser field. Luke followed across the rugged terrain, sidestepping the lime-encrusted network of geysers and steam vents. The planet of Eol Shah hummed with the tidal strain, like fading vibrations from a struck gong. Ganterus moved with outward confidence, but Luke sensed trepidation and uncertainty in him. Luke decided this might be a good time to talk about the Force and its powers. "You must have learned something about the Order of Jedi Knights," he began. "For 1,000 generations, they served the Old Republic as guardians and keepers of order. I believe one of your own ancestors, Tanya, was the daughter of a Jedi. That is why I've come to you. She was among the people who established this colony on Eol Shah. The Emperor hunted down and killed all the Jedi Knights his assassins could find, but I don't believe he could have traced every descendant, every bloodline. Now the Empire has fallen, and the New Republic needs to reestablish the Jedi Knights." He paused. "I want you to be one of them." He gripped Ganterus's shoulder. The other man flinched and pushed Luke's hand away. Luke's voice took on a more pleading tone. "I want to show you the powers of the Force, the infinite doors it can open. With this new strength, you'll be able to help hold the entire galaxy together. I promise we'll take your people and move them to a safe planet, one that will seem like a paradise after Eol Shah." Luke realized he was proselytizing. Ganterus looked at him with dark, unfathomable eyes. "Empires and republics mean nothing to me. What have they cared for us before? My universe is here, on this world." He stopped in front of the wide opening to a geyser and peered into its depths. The creeping stink of rotten eggs wafted into the morning air. From his hip pouch, Ganterus withdrew a battered old data pad and consulted a column of numbers that looked to be some sort of timetable. "Here, we will go inside the geyser and harvest." Luke blinked. "Harvest what?" Without answering, Ganterus lowered himself over the lip of the geyser hole. Luke shrugged off his Jedi cloak and left it beside the geyser rim, then followed the other man underground. Was Ganterus just trying to see if Luke would follow him down into the belly of the geyser? The shaft was a narrow winding chimney through porous rock, a pipeline to gush superheated water. Colorful mineral deposits sparkled white and tan and blue, powdery in his hand. Luke found plenty of footholds as he followed Ganterus into the honeycombed passages. The rock felt warm and slimy. Acrid vapors rising from below stung his eyes. Ganterus worked his way into a side crevice. Luke asked, "What do you want me to do?" In answer, Ganterus wedged himself deeper into a crack and shrugged the woven pouch off his shoulder. "Look in the dark pockets, the ones protected from the scalding water. Gantris dug his fingers into a crevice, felt around, and pulled out a handful of rubbery tendrils. With the heat and the mineral deposits, the lichens have a rich growing ground. It takes a great deal of processing, but we can make something edible out of this. In our world, we don't have many choices. My people must take what we can find. Luke likewise removed his pouch and began to search in the cracks, probing with his prosthetic hand. What if something poisonous lurked in the crevices to sting him? He could read ominous intentions from Gantaris, but couldn't pinpoint them. Was Gantaris looking for a simple way to kill the dark man from his dreams? On his third try, Luke found a mass of spongy growth and yanked it out. Gantaris looked over his shoulder at Luke. It would be better if we split up. You stay by me. You will find only my leavings. I can never feed our people that way. Gantaris' voice changed to a mocking tone, and his forehead crinkled, raising his shaven eyebrows. Unless your force can miraculously create a banquet? Keeping his handholds, Luke edged over to another crack as Gantaris worked deeper into his own fissure, turning a jagged corner. A flurry of uneasiness shot through him, but Luke began to search among the crevices. The lichen wasn't difficult to find, and Luke quickly filled his pouch, crawling through narrow openings. Perhaps Gantaris had expected him to get lost among the fissures. But even disoriented underground, Luke could always retrace his path. He had heard nothing from the other man, and deciding that he had fulfilled his obligation, Luke began to work his way back to where they had split up. When he reached the joined passage, Luke saw that Gantaris was no longer there. He crawled deeper into the fissure, looking for the other man, all the while expecting a trap, but confident he could deal with it. He would have to impress Gantaris with his Jedi abilities. The passage ended in a blocked wall of eroded stone. The smells of sulfurous smoke grew stronger, engendering a deep sense of claustrophobia in him. Luke recalled the two children buried under the avalanche. Bright blood splashed on the bottoms of the fallen rocks. The ground around him hummed with barely contained murderous energy. What if another earthquake happened while he was wedged in the narrow cracks underground? Gantaris was nowhere in sight. Gantaris, he called, but heard no answer. Looking up the shaft of daylight poking through from the surface, Luke finally saw the man's silhouette nearly at the top. Gantaris scrambled up the jagged walls, climbing as fast as he could manage, leaving Luke behind. He was fleeing something. Luke sensed rather than heard the buildup of pressure deep within the planet, the water table heated against magma, crouching near the surface, coming to a boil, rising up, finding the most direct way to escape. Gantaris had carried his own timetable. The geysers must erupt at regular intervals. He intended to trap Luke underground, where he would be cooked to the bone by curtains of superheated steam. Luke grabbed for a handhold and hauled himself up, scrabbling with his boot for a place to rest his foot. He clambered up the bumps and corners of the chimney leading up. The heat increased around him, making it difficult to breathe. He gasped and blinked, burning tears out of his eyes. Steam curled upward as if seeping out of the very rocks. His foot slipped and he nearly plunged downward, but his prosthetic hand flashed out, grabbing on to an outcropping and refusing to let go. When he finally regained his balance, the outcropping crumbled to pieces. Luke had lost precious seconds. The light above shone brighter, urging him on. He held on to another corner, crawled up another few feet, reached out again. Briefly, he saw a shadowed head peer down into the geyser chimney, watching him. Gantaris, but he offered no help. Luke clawed his way up, ignoring his torn flight suit, climbing as fast as his limbs could carry him. Then he ran out of time. He heard the explosion deep beneath him, the rumbling roar of a plume of boiling water rushing to the surface. Luke braced himself and knew he had one chance. He had done this in Cloud City on Bespin and during his training with Yoda and other times. As the jet of steam and deadly water blasted toward him, Luke gathered his strength, his concentration, and sprang straight up, hurling his body out of the geyser shaft. He used the force as a springboard to throw himself high and free, just as if he were lifting an inanimate object. Luke shot out of the geyser chimney, flailing his arms as he dropped to the rugged ground. He tucked his shoulder and rolled, striking with enough force to knock the breath from him. A second after he hit the ground, a wall of steam and superheated water belched from the geyser. Luke shielded his exposed flesh from the scalding droplets and waited for the blast to dwindle. The geyser eruption lasted several minutes. When Luke finally crawled to his knees, he saw Gantaris and the other people of Eol Shah walking toward him, their faces grim as usual. They had set him up, trapped him, tried to kill him. but the anger faded quickly. Hadn't Luke challenged Gantaris to test him, to let him prove his intentions? Luke gathered his drenched Jedi cloak from the geyser rim and waited for them. Gantaris crossed his arms over his chest and nodded. His face looked wide and bleak, without eyebrows or eyelashes. "You passed my first test, Dark Man." Luke sensed both eagerness and terror from the man. "Now come and face your last trial." As the people stepped forward to take him again, Luke did not resist. He had decided to take whatever risks proved necessary to rebuild the Jedi Knights. He hoped the risks would be worth it. It was like a religious procession. With Gantaris in the lead, the people of Eol Shah began a long march up the slope to the cracks of lava. Luke walked straight and proud, determined not to show fear, though the people had already proved their murderous intentions. Despite his Jedi training, he was in very real danger. The oppressive moon hung overhead like a gigantic fist. Spires of lava rock jutted out of the hillside like rotten teeth. Gantaris did not slow his pace when the slope took a steep turn, but he stopped when they reached a sheltered opening in the volcano wall. Overhead, a pall of smoke and ash hung in the air. "Follow me inside," Gantaris told Luke. The others filed past, continuing along the rugged path. Luke stepped after him. He needed to earn Gantaris' respect, if not trust. In this circumstance, Gantaris was making all the rules. Gantaris strode confidently down the narrow passage into the dense shadows. A lava tube blasted through the side of the cone to ease pressure from an ancient eruption. Up ahead, a fiery orange glow lit their way. Luke felt growing anticipation mixed with dread with each step they took. The lava tube spread out, revealing a boiling lake of fire. Though the fissure opened to the sky and other openings let in gusting cross drafts, the chamber felt like the blast of an oven. Luke ducked his head, trying to shield his face with the damp Jedi hood, but Gantaris seemed unaffected. Squinting through noxious gases belching from the lava, Luke watched the other people arrive on the far side of the chamber, lining up and waiting. All faces turned toward him. Gantaris had to raise his voice over the growling sounds of the churning magma. "Walk across the fire, Dark Man. If you reach the other side safely, I will allow you to teach me whatever you wish." Without waiting for a reply, Gantaris disappeared back into the darkness of the lava tube. Luke stared after him for a moment,